Camp Simcha is an exhilarating experience for all of us. But at the same time, let us make no mistake, it could be extremely overwhelming emotionally. And I think part of the emotional turmoil that we go through is not just the fact that we're seeing something and working very hard to try to provide whatever we can, but at the same time, I think spiritually, it's very emotionally draining for us as well. And what I mean by that is we are confronted, perhaps for the first time in our lives, with the paralyzing question of Tzadik Viralo. You see a bunch of young children who could not have possibly ever done anything wrong in their lives to deserve what they have, and yet we look how much they're suffering and how much they're struggling and how much pain they're in and how difficult it is for them, and we see how their lives are turned upside down. And that, I find, is extremely painful, and it's a very, very difficult experience for all of us. If you are like me, I'm here to validate your feelings, and I'm here to talk about that question. I'm here to talk about something that I have been troubled with since the day I came here. If this is something that you don't struggle with and you don't have a problem with, then tavo aleichem bracha. You're amazing people, and you have every right to leave. It's okay. But that's what I plan to discuss this evening. I remember after my first summer here in camp, I almost felt like I was an apikoros, like I'm having such emuna issues and I'm struggling so much with what I'm seeing. I really had trouble trying to internalize it and understand what exactly to do with it myself. I remember that week I called Rav Asher Weiss in Yerushalayim, and I had a very open conversation with him about it. And one of the things he mentioned to me is something that has stuck with me since. He said, if you were to look in all the pages of Chumash, who would you say is the greatest believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who would it be? Avraham Avinu. Look how far Avraham Avinu was willing to go to show his loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet Avraham Avinu, after doing the Akedah and all the Asara Nisyonos, were told that Avraham Avinu comes home, the Medrash says, only to find that his wife also has just died, which was just on top of everything he had already been through. Now he has another struggle and another great difficulty to overcome. And the next morning, the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu wakes up, and Hischil Avraham Avinu Tamea. Avraham Avinu begins to question, and he engages HaKadosh Baruch Hu in conversation, and he says, how can this be? It doesn't make sense. Esmal Amartali Kibi Yitzchak Ikar L'Chazera. First you told me that my future is going to be Yitzchak Avinu. I couldn't imagine that I was going to have a child at this age, but then the miracle happened. After my child was born, you then gave me another mitzvah, which was Haleu Sham Liola. You told me you want me to kill my child. I brought my child to Har Maria. I had no idea what I was supposed to do, but I did it anyway. And then as I put him on the Mizbeach, you send me a message through the Malachim, take him off, put him on. What do you want from me? Now I come home and you kill my wife? Hischil Avraham Avinu Tamea. So what he pointed out was, does that make Avraham Avinu any less of a believer, any less of a mamin b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he had questions? No. Avraham Avinu still goes down in history for all eternity as the greatest believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that it's not a contradiction. To believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam does not mean that we're not going to have times or moments or situations in our lives where we're actually confronted with major questions and we don't know what to do with them. Doesn't make a person a non-believer. It makes a person, yes, a believer. If I didn't believe, imagine if the crown prince of Mongolia, I don't even know if there is such a thing, does something silly. I'm not angry at him because I have no relationship with that person. I don't ask questions on him because I don't know what he's about. I know nothing about him. The fact that I struggle with questions with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because I come into life with a premise that the Ribbono Shel Olam is an entity that I want to relate to, that I want to have a relationship with, that I want to have feelings for. And therefore, when there are things in life that seem so contrary to my belief of what the Ribbono Shel Olam represents, it's a question that I struggle with because I want to have a relationship, because I am engaged with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I was not engaged, I would just step away and say, you know what, forget it. But that's not how I feel. When I have a question, it's because I am struggling. It's because I do want to understand. It's because I do want to have that relationship, and I struggle to do so. So something that bothers, that really consumed the minds of many of the Baalei Machshava is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? Why are we here? What's the point? What's the point of the Ribbono Shel Olam creating the world? did he need us to be here to do his mitzvahs? Did he need us to be here to daven to him? Is that really what this is about? Obviously not. So what was the reason for the creation of the world? This is all the major Balei Machshava deal with this question. The Ramchal in the Mesilas Yesharim suggests his own approach to this question, and he says that perhaps the answer is as follows. The Ramchal lived in the 1700s, one of the greatest Balei Machshava that ever lived, and the Ramchal writes the following. He says, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, created human beings, is because he wanted to be meitiv im ha'adam, meitiv im ha'bruim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do good for all of us in the world. And therefore, he says, he introduces us to a concept that he refers to as nama de kisufa. If I get something free, it's not close to as enjoyable as if I work hard and then I come to an understanding or I come to an appreciation for the end result. Says the Ramchal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to feel so successful and so fulfilled in life. He didn't want us to just come into the world and have everything handed to us. He wanted us to work hard to be able to get to that place where we feel the satisfaction of all the successes that we have, of all the accomplishments that we've done. And therefore, says the Ramchal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created every single human being with certain kinds of challenges. And the more you overcome those challenges, the more successful you feel. The more you feel that you've accomplished something. And that is the meaning of life. Says the Ramchal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wanted us to feel good in the world. And that is why he created us. And the Ramchal then writes what he refers to as Nukudas HaBechira. That every person has something that they're challenged with. And no two people are going to have the same challenge. And it's at very different levels. And sometimes throughout life, your challenge continues to change. Say, for example, just a very simple example. You have somebody who's completely not religious, doesn't know anything about Shabbos, about Kashrus, about anything. Then they get inspired and somebody convinces them that maybe it's a good idea for them to consider observing the Mitzvah HaTorah. So they say, you know what, I'm going to take Shabbos upon myself. In the beginning, the first few times they take Shabbos upon themselves, it's impossible. It's such a difficult challenge for them to stay away from all of technology, for them to observe Shabbos the way all of us observe Shabbos is an impossible challenge. Go 10 years into their journey of Yiddishkeit, it's no longer that difficult. Now they have other challenges. The Nekudas HaBechira has just changed. It's shifted. Now they have something else that they have to overcome that is not at all similar to the first challenge they had. And that is really what continues to happen throughout life. That's what the Balei Machshava write. But the Medrash writes, Ein lecha beria she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu menasa oso. There is no person in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't at some point in life give a challenge to. Writes the Medrash, sometimes you have people in the world who are jealous of those who are ashirim, who are jealous of those who have a lot of money. And the Medrash says, don't be so jealous. Do you know what a challenge it is to be an ashir? It's not so simple to be an ashir and to do exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do with your money, to be the one who is entrusted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's money and to give it out properly and to take care of your people. It's not always so easy to part with one's money, even if you have a lot of it. The Ani has his own set of challenges, and the Medrash goes into this description of each person throughout one of their experiences of life and what it is that they're confronted with, but every person has their own, and the reason, says the Ramchal, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give all of us the opportunity to overcome challenges. He wanted all of us to have the chance to feel successful, to feel good about ourselves when we have that chance to do something great and to elevate ourselves. One of the most famous personalities in Tanakh, the image of what we think about when we consider nisyonos, when we consider challenges, is undoubtedly going to be Iyov. The story of Iyov is an extremely moving story. I don't know if anyone has ever learned Sefer Iyov. Iyov is actually a sefer that I learned partially here in Camp Simcha, because I was so challenged by the nisyonos that so many around us have. And it's an absolutely amazing story. By way of introduction, the Rambam writes in the Mora Nevuchim, the Rambam wrote a sefer called Mora Nevuchim, which really means it's the guide for the person that is completely confused. Navuch in Hebrew means someone who's confused, who's dizzy. So the Rambam had a Talmud who had a lot of questions in Hashkafa, and he was very confused. And the Rambam decided to write a Sefer Hashkafa to respond to all the questions of his very confused Talmud. That's exactly why we were blessed with the Sefer Mora Nevuchim, which is an amazing gift to Klal Yisrael ever since. So we pay tribute to that, whoever that Talmud was of the Rambam that couldn't figure it out. We're lucky that he posed his questions to his Rebbe, the Rambam, and because of that we have that. So the Rambam says, in his opinion, Eov lo haya velo nivra. The Rambam writes that in his opinion, Eov was a fictional character. Eov actually never existed. Why would the Navi have a whole sefer that talks about a made-up story? So you can read it over here. The Rambam says, Kol zeh mashal b'lo safek. The story is not real. But the point of the story is real. And the Rambam explains that this is really giving us an opportunity to understand the perplexity of life that we sometimes have, the questions in life that we sometimes have, the mystifying story of people's journey of life that we're confronted with from time to time. Says the Rambam, that is why we have Sefer Eov, so we can have an image. It could have been in any generation. And you have people in every generation who go through the Yisurim that Eov went through. And that's why it's important, says the Rambam, that we understand what the story of Eov is all about and what perhaps some of the takeaway messages are. So, what exactly is the story? I want to learn together a little bit from Sefer Eov, and let's try to have an understanding. The story is, as I said, I would say it's almost outrageous, but it's just, it's an amazingly uplifting, painful, emotional story. So Eov, we're introduced to this personality of Eov, that he is the most sublime, he is the most pure and perfect human being that ever lived. Eov is just on another level. He's in a league of his own. So let's see what the psukim say. Ish haya be'eretz utz, everybody with me, number base, number line 18. Ish haya be'eretz utz, there was a individual in the land of Utz, the Eov Shemo, his name was Eov, and the Navi says about him, Haya Ishahu, that person was Tam V'yasher V'yari Elokim. He was a perfect, impeccable, flawless, moral, righteous, innocent, perfect human being. That's who he was. Can it get better than that? Have you ever heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu describe anybody in the world with such glowing terms? That he was so perfect. V'sar Meira. V'yivodu lo shiva banam v'shalosh banos. Eov gave birth to three daughters and seven sons. On top of that, the Pasuk says he was wealthy, he was living a very lavish lifestyle, thousands of animals, he had a bustling business, he was the most outstanding person, greater than anyone else in his generation. And there was an amazing minhag that his family had. What was the minhag? Minhag was that every day they used to get together, all of his family members, all of his children, 10 children, they all got married, they all had their own children, but they all would gather together in one of the homes of his children, and they would want to have an opportunity to just spend time as a family. They would invite the entire family to come eat together. Eov was so special. When his children used to have these get-togethers, how beautiful it is for parents to see their children celebrating together, the next morning Eov would go out and offer a karbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he would say, you know, for all the enjoyment we had together as a family, now I need to give something to the Ribbono Shel Olam in return. And he said, Ulai chatu banai ubercho elokim belvavam. You never know, maybe somebody was lightheaded along the way as they were celebrating together. We're going to bring karbanos. And that is what they did every time they had a celebration together as a family. So here, the Navi tells us that one fine day, there's a meeting in heaven, there's a meeting in Shamayim, where all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emissaries, his messengers, all the Malachim, gather together to have a discussion with the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And who is one of those people? Not just the Malachim that we're familiar with, Gabriel and Michael and all the other famous ones, but the Satan is there as well. And what happens? Vayomer Hashem al Satan, me'ayin tavo? It's an interesting question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked the Satan, where are you coming from? Well, you're the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know where he's coming from. Vayan HaSatan al Hashem, the Satan responds, Vayomer, and he says, Mishut ba'aretz humashalech. Well, I just took a little trip. I wanted to go on a little vacation. I was floating around the world, seeing what's happening. Vayomer Hashem al Satan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Hasamta libcha al avdi Eov. By chance, when you were traveling around the world, did you have an opportunity to meet, to encounter Eov? Ki ein kamo be'eretz, there is nobody in the world like him. Yari Elokim v'sar me'ra, he has great Yira Shamayim. Did you have a chance to meet him, to engage him in conversation? Vayan hasatan l'Hashem ayomer, The Satan responded, Hachinam Yare Iov Elokim. You're impressed with Iov? You say he's such a Yare Shamayim? Halo Ata Sachta Ba'ado Va'ad Beso. You have protected, you have cared for Iov since he was born. So it's no great big deal for him to have Yare Shamayim and to be a great person when you've given him everything in the world. You've made him wealthy. You've given him healthy children. You've given him everything in the world that a person can ever want. What are you impressed with, Eo? Let's try to test him, says the Satan. Ulam shlachta yadcha v'ga b'chala shalo im lo al panecha yivarechacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? You want to try me? You go down into the world and you can do whatever you'd like to Eo. I am telling you, Eo is going to stay strong. He's not going to say anything that he shouldn't say. He will never neglect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer Hashem al HaSatan, Hinei kol asher lo biyadecha, rak elav al tishlach yadecha. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives him full and complete authority to do whatever he wants to Iov. Vayetze HaSatan ma'im penei Hashem. The story almost sounds made up, but this is the description in the Navi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a full right to the Satan to do whatever he wants to Iov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to stand in your way. Well, that's what happens. Vahi ayom, so happened. Banu b'benosav ochlin v'shosim yayim b'beis achiyam ha-bechor. It just so happened that his family, Eov's family, was having a get-together that night. Umalach ba'al Eov ayomer, and a messenger comes into Eov, and he says, Habakar ha-yuchorshos v'asonos roos ha-yedehem. All of your cattle, all of your donkeys were outside doing work, grazing in the field. V'atipol sheva v'atikachem, and attackers came, and they ambushed all of your animals. V'es hana'arim hiku l'ficharev, all of the shepherds who were looking after the animals were murdered. V'imalta rak ani levadi l'hagilach, I'm the only sole survivor of that incident. So all of your animals were just killed, all of your shepherds were taken, and the only one who's left is me. So I came to let you know what just happened. Od zemedaber, while this messenger is giving him this horrifying message, another messenger comes in and he says, Eish Elokim naflam min hashamayim, you're not going to believe it, Eov. A fire just came down out of nowhere. Vativar batzonu v'na'ar v'tochlim, and all your sheep that were outside, all your donkeys were over there, but your sheep were back by the house. So your house burnt down and all your sheep burnt. V'imotarak ani levadi l'hagilach, I am the sole survivor who made it out alive, and I came here to let you know that, by the way, everything you have has just been destroyed. Od zemedaber, while that second messenger is giving over his information, there were enemies coming from all different sides, and anything that you had left that hadn't been destroyed before was now just taken by the enemy. Od zemedaber, vayomer, and somebody says, banecho v'nasecha ochlin v'shosim v'beis achiyam ha-bechor. By the way, Eov, I know we've given you terrible messages about all of your animals and all of your livelihood and your entire business, but I just have one more thing to tell you, and that is, you know, all your children are having a party tonight at one of your kids' house, and they're all sitting together and having a great time, but I'd like to let you know, Hinei ruach gedola ba me'ever hamidbar. A unexpected hurricane came out of nowhere, powerful winds. Vayiga ba'arba pinos habayis, and it shook the entire house. Vayipol anal hana'arim vayamusu, and the house collapsed. And I'm sorry to tell you that all your 10 children have just died. V'imalta rakani levadi lahagilach. I was like a waiter in the house, and you're not going to believe it, but I somehow was the only one who was able to crawl out of the rubble, and I came to let you know that your entire family has just been killed. So just appreciate for a minute. Eov's entire life was just destroyed in a span of 10 minutes. Everything. Every one of his children, every one of his grandchildren, all of his business, his entire parnasa, everything he worked to accomplish in his life was just destroyed in a span of a few minutes. By Yaakov Eov, what does he do? Eov gets up. By Yikras Me'ilo, he tears his garments. By Yagaz Esrosha, by Yipol Arza, by Yishtachu, and he's devastated, and he's crushed, and he's overwhelmed. By Yomer, and he says, listen how amazing the response, the reaction of Eov. Line 69. Arum yatsasi mi betan imi. When I came into the world, I had nothing. V'arum ashuv shama. But the way I came out from the womb is the way I'm going to be returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't take anything with you.
Hashem Nasan v'Hashem Lakach Hi Shem Hashem Evorach.
Amazing.
It's an amazing statement, a remarkable statement. You see the extraordinary emuna of a person like Eov, where he says, I've just lost everything.
But still, he's able to say, Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach.
Perek Beis, the Satan goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, you know, I can't believe it. I just tried pretty hard. You sort of, I guess it's not the right way to say, you dared me, but basically you gave me a full right to do whatever I want. I tried doing everything. I tried to get Eov to break, and it seems that he's unshakable. He seems like pretty amazingly strong, and I'm not sure what to do now. And the Satan goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, well, let me try plan B. And finally he starts inflicting, I see we're running out of time, but he starts inflicting Eov with personal wounds on his body. And he has boils and rashes, and he's itching and he's burning and he's freezing and he's back and forth, and he doesn't know what to do, and he goes and buries himself in the sand to try to get some comfort. And as all this is going on, terrible infection and terrible inflammation of his whole body, the wife of Eov turns to him and says, Eov, odcha machzik betumasecha. Look at the last line here, 93. Vatomer lo ishto, odcha machzik betumasecha. Do you still believe in this HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, look what he's doing to you. I've given up a long time ago, she says. I've given it all up because he's done enough to me. But you're still holding on? And the Medrash, the Navi, goes to describe what happens here, where Eov responds to his wife and he says, Vayomer Eileha. Next page. Kidaber achas hanevolos tedabri gam es hatov nekabel me'es elokim ve'es hara lo nekabel. Eov says to his wife, you're going to talk like all those people out there? There are people in the world who, you know, run around saying, thank you, Hashem. Oh, thank you, Hashem. It's so wonderful. Thank you, Hashem. Yeah, it's very easy to say thank you, Hashem, when everything's going really nicely in your life. Thank you, Hashem. Having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not mean putting a bumper sticker on your car that says thank you, Hashem. It's nothing. Right? Or being on a WhatsApp group that's a thank you, Hashem WhatsApp group is meaningless. It does nothing. That's not a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Eov, we're going to scream and yell thank you Hashem all day, but then when the Ribono Shel Olam chooses to turn the tables a little bit, then we're going to say, oh, sorry, I don't believe anymore. Until now I did believe, but now this can't be. It just doesn't make sense. Well then, why wouldn't you ever have a question when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you everything else in the world? Why don't you ever ask yourself, oh, this also doesn't make sense. Why would the Ribono Shel Olam give me all this? I'm not worthy of it. So says Eov, I'm still holding on to the faith. The psukim continue that what does a person do when they have a very, very difficult moment in life? Their friends come to try to give them comfort. And the psukim describe that three very dear friends, very close friends of Eov, come to try to calm him down and to try to console him. Now, by the way, it says here that they come and they sit on the ground. Ve'ein doveri lav davar. If you look in line 11. For 7 days they sit on the ground with Eov, sitting Shiva with him for everything he's lost, for his whole life that's been destroyed. Ve'ein doveri lav davar, and nobody said a word. Sometimes what people need is not our comment, is not our words, because we don't have the words to say. And sometimes we feel very uncomfortable. You ever go to a Shiva house and you're just sitting there and nobody really has anything to say? And everyone's squirming, you know, looking at somebody else. Sometimes it's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Nobody needs to say anything. You don't need to be the person in the room who says something that doesn't need to be said. The Pasuk says here, sometimes people who are in pain, all they want is for someone else to just be sitting with them and identifying with the pain that they're going through. And I think it's very important for us here. We feel that it's our job to give comfort to those who are struggling and those who are suffering. Sometimes the greatest comfort we can give is just to sit and listen. We don't need to have answers. We don't need to have something to say all the time. Just knowing that you have people who are supportive of you, knowing that you have people who you can turn to and just talk openly, is already something that is extremely powerful. This is going on for over a year, the Gemara says. Things are just getting worse and worse, and his friends, after trying to figure out what's happening with their friend Eov, they start to question themselves, and they say, you know, we know that Eov was always a very good person, but obviously we were mistaken. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have never done this to a person who's that good. It just can't be. And then they turn and they betray their friend Eov. They say, you know, we always respected you and we felt very highly of you, but it's clear that our impression of you was wrong all along. Because we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's no way the Ribbono Shel Olam would have done this to a person that's as great as you. So it must be that you're really not a good person. You're really not a good person. I remember I once attended a levaya of a young girl who passed away. And somebody at the levaya got up and said, you know, this happened because people in this community don't keep Shabbos well enough. Aside from being just probably the most insensitive, crazy thing you could ever say at a levaya of a tragic petira, aside from that, we don't claim to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have Nevi'im who are able to give us that kind of insight. We don't know the answers why things happen in the Ribbono Shel Olam's world. So the friends of Eov made a mistake here because they start getting into the philosophical understandings of how everything worked and how it could be or not be, and then they say the conclusion has to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right, and therefore it must be that you are completely wrong. And you're evil, and you're horrible. And that's why this happened to you. And therefore, we want to have nothing to do with you. So, at that stage in his life, he is not only bereft of his children, and his wife, and his business, and his wealth, and his house, and his good health, but now he lost the last thing that he was holding on to, which was his friends. And he has no support at all in the world. And he's completely alone. That's the basic story of Eov. So when you read through such a story, it's painful, and it's sad. And part of the problem that you are confronted with is, when Avraham Avinu sees what's about to happen in Sodom, so what does he say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We're all familiar with the story that he's negotiating. Maybe there are 50 tzaddikim, maybe 40, maybe 30, maybe 20, maybe 10, 5, someone... What's the premise of the argument? So what? If there are 50 tzaddikim, so what? Why should that make a difference? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is told by Avraham Avinu, Chalila lecha me'asos kadavar hazeh lahamis tzaddik imrasha. Avraham Avinu says, we believe, ki chol d'racha mishpat, that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is with a careful calculation. Everything is done deliberately. Everything is done because this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to happen. And if that's the case, how can you just indiscriminately kill an entire city if there are people who don't deserve to be killed? That's the premise that we work with in life. That there's a reason why things happen, and it's all done with a careful calculation. And if that's the case, you look at the story of Eov and you say it just doesn't add up. It doesn't make any sense. How can that be? If Avraham Avinu demanded of the Ribbono Shel Olam that everything be done with justice, and everything be done with a calculation, then where's the calculation here? And you look around the world and you ask yourself, where's the calculation for many things? So let's look at what Rav Dessler writes. I think he articulates it in just a masterful way. I don't know if you've ever learned the Sefer Michtav Me'Eliyahu. If you haven't, it's very worthwhile. It's a very beautiful Sefer. Rav Dessler, really one of the great Balei Machshava of our generation, writes the following. Bechal Anu pogim bekushyos gedolos vechazakos. Again, the reason why I appreciate this passage in the Michtav Me'Eliyahu is because I feel like he's articulating exactly what I have felt many times. And maybe someone in the room feels the same way. Don't be embarrassed. It's just, I think he's just expressing what a lot of people do feel and are too embarrassed to say. Well, Rav Dessler was not embarrassed to say it. Let's see. Bechal anu pogim bekushyos gedolos vechazakos. Throughout life, there are times when you're confronted with major questions. Lama ploni zacha l'chaim u'usharim. You look around, why is it that this lowlife, who's done nothing good in his life, seemingly, has a great life, and everything seems to be wonderful? Chaim u'usharim means successful. Osher doesn't mean wealth. Osher with an ayin is wealth. Osher here means happy, great, everything's good. Hasheni chayitzar yichyeh, and somebody else who seems to be wonderful has a painful, awful life. Lama ploni atzadi gizbo yisurim rabim v'chayev kechayeh gehenim. Why are there some people who have life that looks like they're living through the worst of gehenim? Uploni harasha yukol yamav kechagim. Other people in the world just seem to be living it up, having a great time, without any problem. Yesh asher emunasam shlema, writes the Michtam Elio, there are some people who have an emuna, v'ashelus halalu lo yazizim imenu, and these kinds of questions don't bother them. And they say, I don't know, everything's fine, the Ribbono Shel Olam has a cheshbon, and it's okay, and I'm fine with that. If that's you, says Rav Dessler, great, stick with that. However, he says, Amnam, gam rabim hema asher lo taspik lahem atshuva abrura azos. That doesn't work for everybody. Says Rav Dessler, some people live life and say, Amuna pshuta, everything's fine, I get it, I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and all these questions that I have, I don't know, whatever, it doesn't bother me. Other people, he says, live life and have real problems with these questions and don't know exactly what to do. Ki alo tov v'rachamu, don't we believe, when we say the Yud Gimel Midos, we believe Hashem Hashem kel racham lechanun? Don't we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful and kain? Lama yemar meras chayenu? Why would the Ribbono Shel Olam make people suffer? Why would he make their lives bitter? Im onesh hu asher yanish? If you're going to say that it's just a punishment, ech yachbid kol kach ansho shel atzadik val pishe harasha. And he then goes on to say, in the next paragraph, v'yesh asher yishalu. There are some who will ask, in line 33, there are some who will ask him, Cain, lama yesh yisurim she'enam onesh klal. If you'll say everything is just because someone may have done something wrong and therefore they deserve this, I'll give you a proof that it's not always the case, says Rav Dessler. There are some people who couldn't possibly have done anything wrong to deserve this. Lama yesh mi she'nolad chole uchadome. Look at the kids in this camp. The innocent, beautiful children in this camp, says Rav Dessler. You still say that all of that is because of an onesh? And these questions, he says, are questions that actually troubled him. If you're one of those people, you should not feel alone. You should know that you're in the presence and in the company of the greatest of the leaders of Klal Yisrael in every single generation, who struggled with the same questions that you have. Don't feel that your thoughts are offensive or unacceptable or improper or distasteful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Kisisa asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hodieni nader achecha. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show him how the world runs. How does the world work? The Gemara explains what was Moshe Rabbeinu's question. His question was exactly this. Moshe Rabbeinu asked, Mipnei ma, why is it that there is a tzaddik v'ralo and a rasha v'tovlo? Why is it that there are some tzaddikim in the world or people who we consider to be righteous and they suffer and they struggle so much, and then you have on the other hand people who are just living great lives and they seem to have done everything wrong in the world? This is the question that bothered Moshe Rabbeinu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's too complicated. It's very intricate. It's not so simple. But Moshe Rabbeinu is not the only one who asked this. This was asked by every one of the great Nevi'im. If you look in the Psukim, Yirmiyah HaNavi, look on the bottom of the page here, number 45, where Yirmiyah HaNavi asked the same thing. First he starts off, I forgot to put it on, but he starts off by saying, Tzadik ata Hashem ki arav alecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand you are the supreme entity in the world, I get it. However, he says, Mishpatim adabar oscha, I have what to discuss with you. I have a problem. And what is that? Madu aderech hasham tzalecha. Why is it that the Rishayim in the world seem to have an easy path and an easy life and everything seems to be going well, and others who are doing the right thing seem to be struggling and suffering? He was not the only one. It was Moshe Rabbeinu. It was Yirmiyah. It was Chavakuk, as you'll see here. It was David HaMelech. It was all of the great Nevi'im who asked the very same question and who were troubled with the same thing that some people in this room might be troubled with as well. Let me just say, the Chafetz Chaim has an unbelievable mashal. And I think we'll have to close with this because we don't have enough time, but we can really talk about this topic forever because there's so much to say. But the Chafetz Chaim has an unbelievable mashal where he talks about a businessman who once had to go to another town. And he walks into the local shul and he's there for Shabbos and he's just surveying, he's watching what's going on. After shul, somebody comes over to him and he says, "Nu, how did you enjoy your stay here?" He says, "It was lovely, it was really nice." And this guest turns to the gabbai and he says, "I had a really nice time. I have a question that's really been bothering me the whole davening. And that question is, I noticed when it came time for Kriyas HaTorah, I noticed that you were running around the shul. You gave the first aliyah to somebody here and the second one to somebody over there, and then you were running to the front, to the back, three rows up, three rows down. Wouldn't it be easier if the first week you gave the first seven aliyahs to the people in one row? Then the next week you went to the next row, and you had some kind of system. Wouldn't that be simpler? Wouldn't that streamline the process for you?" And the gabbai turns back to him and he says, "It's an interesting question. I appreciate it. But," he says, "I don't think you understand. We do have a system here. You just don't get it." And he says, "Well, what kind of system is this?" He says, "Well, how long have you been in our shul?" He's like, "Well, the truth is, this is my first time ever in this building. I've never been here before." He's like, "It's your first time in this building. You think you're going to understand this? This one has yard site this week for his parents. That one's daughter got engaged this week. And this one is making a sheva brachas for his children. And that one just celebrated an anniversary. And this one has a bar mitzvah in the family. And that's why we have a whole calculation of how we divvy up the aliyos and why we give it out the way we do. Stay here for 5-6 years. You'll begin to understand why it is that we do things the way we do and how the rhythm of this community flows." And said the Chafetz Chaim, that's what he feels when he looks around the world. Sometimes we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "You know, it seems so arbitrary. Why does the Ribbono Shel Olam have to take a happy family where everything seems to be going really well, where everyone's healthy, where the Parnassa is fine, where the Shalom Bayis is wonderful, and he has to turn everything on its head? And he has to take a child in that family and make them sick, or he has to take somebody in the family and make life miserable?" You know, you almost ask yourself, somebody who's learned to be sick, they already figured out how to be sick. Like, let that family have the illness, and let's, like, save everybody else from the problem. Let the rich family stay rich, like they figured out how to live that kind of lifestyle. Let the poor people stay poor, like they're doing all right. They already figured it out by now. Why do you have to take the rich family and then suddenly make them lose all their money, and now they have to learn a whole new way of life? Just like, why don't we, like, streamline the process? Keep things the way they are. Why does that Kadosh Baruch Hu act in ways that we feel are almost arbitrary sometimes? Chafetz Chaim said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns back to us and he says, "One minute, how long have you been here?" "I've been here a few thousand years, and there is a rhythm and a method to everything that goes on in the world, but we're just very new here, and this is our first time visiting, and we may not have a full appreciation or understanding of what it is that actually goes on in the understanding, in the inner workings of how our world actually runs." These are things that I think about every summer when I'm here in Camp Simcha. I wish none of us would be confronted with the painful and difficult and sometimes jarring experiences that we have here. But the reality is, we see it in front of our own eyes, and we're confronted with it every single day here. And it's something that many people try to make sense out of. And it's something that as mature adults we should think about. And it's something that should bother us. And it's something that sometimes we need to just air out and understand and talk through with our friends and talk through with ourselves to try to really see how we can make sense of what it is that we're experiencing. I know that at the end of every session they have a debriefing. To me, Chaval, I'm so sad that I'm going to be missing it. I always stay up. I think it's till like 3 o'clock in the morning. I always sit there with everyone and listen. And to me, it's so uplifting to listen to a debriefing. I'm sad that I'm missing it. I'm happy that the reason why I'm missing it is because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael on Sunday, so I'm not going to be here Sunday night. But I only have 4 days there, so I have to go and come back. But I always feel when we have the opportunity to debrief, it's not just to tell stories and it's not just to talk to each other about the things that inspired us. Sometimes it's an opportunity for us to open up to each other about things that challenged us as well. And that's healthy. And that's fine. And that's not something to be ashamed of or embarrassed of. It's something that healthy, mature adults do all the time. And it's important that we have a circle of friends. It's important that we have a support system that is here to show how much they validate the feelings that we have, the impressions that we have, the images that we sometimes conjure up in our minds from experiences that we go through together. And this is really a growth opportunity, as we've said so many times. But part of the growth opportunity also is that it sometimes challenges us, and it sometimes makes us think differently than the way we otherwise would have. So I hope that this was somewhat meaningful to everyone.